is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Off the Record with Trivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, RF Bank and Trust, and Raw Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316. 325-4316. Or 325-4259, that's 325-4259. You can text us on 4224796, that's 4224796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043, that's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. Man, there's so much going on. So much going on, for sure. Pretty much based on some stuff I picked up in the news, right? So you will recall that when Atlantis raised some concerns that it raised about the RCI project, that I was kind of surprised because I was surprised because I thought to myself, I never really, I'd never heard of a foreign company in the Bahamas or a foreign investor object so publicly to another proposed foreign investment project. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I did not recall any such thing ever happening to my recollection. Anyways, they did, and it was on environmental ground. Now, Wendy's, which is to be clear now, we sometimes are not so clear on this. Wendy's is a foreign franchise, let's be sure. Wendy's is not a Bahamian franchise. It did not originate in the Bahamas. Okay, neither Domino's and all of them, right? These are foreign franchises. You're looking for Bahamian, local something, and that's Bamboo Shack, right? Eatery at Bamboo Shack, there are others, but that's the one most familiar to me, right? Popeyes and all of them, Kentucky Fried Chicken, all of them, they're foreign franchises. The rule, as I recall it, the rule is that a foreign franchise like that, operating in the Bahamas, it should be owned by Bahamians or permanent residents of the Bahamas, right? Because I know Kentucky and them were owned by necessarily a citizen, but a permanent resident, sure. I think in the airport, you know. So Wendy's, this foreign franchise owned by Bahamians, is seeking now to convert Y'all remember where you used to go to Scotiabank on Paradise Island, just as you just went around about there in that little plaza there. There was Scotiabank, and as I recall, there's a restaurant, probably a couple of restaurants. There's a convenience store in that little block there, right? So they want to convert that into a restaurant destination. And Atlantis, Comfort Suites, and others are objecting. They believe that that ought not to be into an article in the newspaper. They believe that a change, I'm quoting from the article in the Tribune, a change of use which results in increased vehicular or pedestrian traffic congestion, increased noise, unpleasant odors, and visible waste would be a clear annoyance or nuisance not only to neighbors or the adjoining lot, but also to the entire Paradise Island community. In that vein, Atlantis also submits that the town planning committee did not give sufficient consideration to the views of the neighbors on the adjoining lot, the Paradise Island community, or the public at large. Listen to me, folks. I am just blown away by this. Blown away. Mind you, you know, this is what town planning is for. This is what town planning meetings are for. Citizens and residents, and these companies are residents in the Bahamas. So no one should suggest that they don't have a stake in the country and should not have a say in things that they believe could affect their business or environment. I have no objection to that. I have no objection to that. What I find interesting is that the proposal put that plaza into a restaurant destination. Now, I'm not dead wrong. I know there was a restaurant in there. I ate at the restaurant in there, right? There was a convenience store in there before. I know that to be crazy. And then there was Scotia, some other things, maybe even a couple more eateries. A restaurant destination. Like, I cannot conceive of Wendy's. First of all, Paradise Island is, for the most part, where Atlantis and those are, is a commercial district. It's not a residential district. But to my mind, restaurants have to, and are you putting restaurants on Paradise Island, they have to exercise a certain amount of public health compliance. They have to be careful of odor, because am I going to sit in a restaurant where it stinks? Really? And then noise? Well, we're not talking about Paradise Island and that same little area there where practically most vehicles coming off the bridge turn right and come down to that roundabout and then either go into Atlantis or somewhere to Comfort Suite or beyond. And there is not now traffic. There are issues there. Like, who's going to go? How many Bahamians are going to go start the fair? The Bahamians are going to go pay $2 to go to the Wendy's across the bridge? Maybe restaurants, yes. But that's a problem. Don't they already come across there to go into Atlantis' day to go watch the aquarium, to go and do other things on Paradise Island? I found this really, really curious. Really curious. A commercial district. Atlantis on its Marina Boulevard has a ton of restaurants. A ton. You walk along that Marina Boulevard, it's got a ton of restaurants. A ton. I don't get it. I mean, honestly, maybe with more explanation, I could understand better, but just based on vehicular and pedestrian traffic congestion, it's unpleasant odors. When was the last time any of you walked past a Wendy's or Kentucky Fried Chicken or Burger King, Popeyes, any one of them, and smell something smell bad? Anytime I patronize them all. I'm sure you can find fire loaded anywhere. You can find fire loaded in any hotel if you go a spot where they have to deal with things that can produce fire loaded. But as a general reality of the business itself, a restaurant, no. That's like ghetto stuff if you're talking really that kind of thing, right? That's not normal. So I don't get it. Or is there some other interest for that property? Is there, maybe there's another interest in that property? Maybe there's something else they'd like to do? Because I think I saw a hint that there's something else they want to do with the property, but I don't get it. Maybe somebody from Atlantis or Comfort Suite or Wendy's might clarify for us. But what's the big deal? Really? I mean, you cannot go in the United States of America in any commercial district with hotels around it and not find fast food restaurants. In fact, they bought them around there. It's good for business. I mean, it's, you know, man, the business, there's something going on in the Bahamas. Something going on that I must have missed. Producer, today is World Telecommunications Day, right? And so anyway, that was something I wanted to throw out there. But hey, you know, we are able to do to maintain solid communication, solid connections with our family, with our friends, with our neighbors, even with our business contacts and all that, because of all that happens in the world of communication, all the cell phones, all the landlines, all the, you know, and all the infrastructure behind all of that, all because of telecommunication. It's huge. It's massive. I couldn't imagine. In fact, I was traveling the other day and everybody around me on the airplane was on their phone, texting or doing something. I said to the lady next to me, I said, can you imagine what life was like before all of this? And you know, she said to me, she said, I don't know, because when I really started, I had a pager. So you're in that generation. But I existed in a generation before pager. But anyway, today is World Telecommunications Day. And boy, we have some big wigs with us today, one of whom you would have known from another life, with us, the great one. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together and we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey for every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with thelovelinic.org/Caribbean.
My business couldn't survive without my credit card machine from Fidelity.
It's fast, convenient, and my clients love it.
My sales increase, and I can track my earnings.
Get your credit card machine from Fidelity today.
Call 356-7764. Fidelity, we're good for
you. Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
I'm not afraid.
Gentlemen, to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Dari Radio 96.9 AM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Let me say that I am taking full responsibility for a little goof we had a bit ago on about World Telecommunications Day, and so we'll reschedule with our guest hopefully soon. Enough, and my apologies for sure. We were talking about Atlantis's and the Comfort Suites and others' objection to what is a proposed reusage of that property there where Scotiabank was on Paradise Island. And the objections seeming to be about the potential of restaurant destination is being called. So I'm assuming it's going to have a number of fast food restaurants, including Wendy's and other Wendy's franchises and the like, in that in that plaza. And so the objection is that it would increase the noise and smell, et cetera, and so forth and so forth. Which I find curious, to say the least, but also as fascinating to me is this new activism that seems to be taking hold by even these very large enterprises. It really is surprising, right, that they are so active this way. I mean, like. What is really the threat that the noise profile, the odor profile and the like of Paradise Island would be changed by a restaurant? Could that not be something that could be discussed with the folk? Just like Atlantis was discussing with RCI, I'm told, what could be done to alleviate any of their concerns and all that kind of stuff. It's a really interesting development for me. Now, what would be more interesting is how town planning approaches this, because first of all, town planning is essentially about zoning. And if you zone an area for a particular kind of type of business, like how does somebody come and say, We don't want that here. And I'm saying you don't want restaurants in that area where across the road, if you recall where this plaza is, if you walk right across the street from the plaza, village, right? And right there, Marina Village, as you enter Marina Village, to the left, if I'm not mistaken, is a restaurant, to the and other eateries. And then if you walk down, there's a restaurant. If you walk down, there's a restaurant, there's eateries. It's like that vicinity has eateries. So is it restaurants or is it this type of restaurant? If they had proposed, and if they were proposing high-end restaurants, would it have made a difference? You know, would not a high-end restaurant attract traffic and would have odors related to food and maybe not no noise, but like, what is the noise that comes from a Wendy's? Like, or what is the noise? It's curious to me. It's curious. This text says, how many shares do you personally own in Marcos and Wendy's? I feel that's why you would approve it. First of all, that's a really interesting shares in none of them. None. I have not communicated with any owner of them. I think the Aguila is related, but nothing related to that in the longest time. So you must be talking out of your head. And secondly, I'm not suggesting it be approved. I'm questioning the objection. And if I'm questioning the objection and you're questioning me, I have to ask you, what's your interest in Atlantis Comfort Suite and Doors? Do you own shares in them? Why you are supporting them if you are saying that to me? This text says, Mr. Lang, do you know that months ago, Atlantis tried to drum up opposition to Wendy's from the people's president on Paradise Island? Really? No, I don't know that. I don't know. Could be so. This says, Zhivago, they would not come out and say it, but I think what they are really concerned about is that a restaurant like Wendy's can cheapen the Atlantis product. It's like having a fast food chain close to Las Vegas Resort. Okay, so is that what you're saying? Or Burger King or McDonald's? Because if that's true, then the maps that I'm looking at must be quite misleading. There's the Neon Museum, Las Vegas. There's a Wendy's near there. And there's another Wendy's. And then there's another Wendy's. They cover like a triangular thing. Maybe not on the strip, right? I don't know if they have a Wendy's or any fast food on the strip. But you might be right. I don't know. I would like to better understand what the deal is. But you know, I Google searched fast food restaurants on the Las Vegas Strip. There's a Taco Bell. There's a Chick-fil-A. There's a White Castle, and so forth and so forth. So there's Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, McDonald's, Shake Shack, not a McDonald's, yeah, Jack in the Box. So I don't know. And this has classism connotations. Now let me say, because y'all know, I am not opposed to businesses protecting their interest. I'm not opposed to that. If a business believes that something may degrade, may impact negatively its business, I'm not opposed to them making an objection in that regard. All I'm doing is, if I look at your argument, I then have to ask the question, is that a rational argument with God being had to the circumstances? So for me, if Wendy's and those are proposing a restaurant destination in that plaza, and there are restaurants just across the street, you can take 1 minute and walk, and across the street, you have more restaurants and eateries owned by Atlantis or operated by Atlantis or operated by others on Atlantis's property. So what then becomes the argument about the restaurants? And then the question is, oh, well, it's a question of traffic. Well, you have Atlantis. You have one of the most popular water attractions, aquarium or features. You have one of the most popular places to visit for in the Marina Village in them. And they are near several other hotels. So you are already talking about more than 1 million people on an annual basis, or so, or hundreds of thousands, traversing Paradise Island on an annual basis, inclusive of their residents. And there was an eatery or eateries in that plaza already. Who are likely to go to the restaurants there on the plaza? People who are staying at Atlantis, Comfort Suites, and other on these other places? Maybe that's the challenge. Maybe that cuts in the revenue. Maybe. Say, good day, Mr. Lang. If you are a guest at Atlantis, why would you pay $30 for a six-year-old child when you can buy a $8 children's meal from Wendy's? And maybe that is the challenge, right? Is that it's introducing competition, right? Because I know what you're talking about. I took my kids to Atlantis very often and bought them $3.50 can of soda and $6, $7, $8 pizza, slice of pizza, right? And so maybe that is the issue. Maybe that's part of it, is the competition. Would it be that significant? Could be, I don't know. But are we in the business of preventing competition to businesses? See, when the Bahamas used to have a reasonable mid-level hotel business, I mean mid-level pricing. But when Atlantis and those came, you know, some of them suffered because you could get an Atlantis product at a reasonable price range and that they couldn't compete. You know, so, but, you know, we didn't say, no, don't bring Atlantis here. Not for that reason. Are we in the business of sliding composition? See, town planning has to be about zoning. And zoning has to be about complementarity, about safety, about health and them kind of things, right? And so unless there is a fundamental public nuisance related to a proposed development like that, what becomes the decision-making factor? We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Good day, Mr. Lang. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great, man. Great topic. I am split down the middle to this thing that you're talking about.
Okay.
Because I believe that what we need to do is start creating more of a bohemian little restaurants over at Paradise Island rather than the bleak conglomerates taking over everything, you know. But if the Bahamian people don't want to, I think they are, don't want to go into business and the small restaurant business, then I say it's open game. But we should be given first preference to say, okay, we want at least about 5 to 10, all depends on how much thought they put there, 5 to 10.
But let's hold up.
Because when I travel with my family, we go to Walt Disney, I spend about $10 on a turkey drumstick. Hello?
Okay. I can hear you, but listen, check me out for a minute. 1 minute, right? Just 1 minute. So I'm with you on it would be wonderful to have Bahamian restaurants on Paradise Island, right? But we could have started that with some restaurants in Atlantis, right? but here's the thing. So that property that Scotiabank and them was on, that's private property. You realize that, right?
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So it's not a question of what we let happen. If you want to do business there, you got to go buy the property, right? So the Wendy's people, apparently, or some, well, all his own, bought the property.
Oh, Wendy's bought the property.
I hear you. Well, that's the only way you could put something on it. You have to own it.
No, I thought somebody was bought the property and was putting little shops there to rent. No, Wendy's bought it.
No. This is a development. This is apparently a development that Wendy's wants to do. A little restaurant development. You understand?
Yeah.
Right? So this isn't a question of some government making a decision about Bahamianness or foreign that. It's, I'm a Bahamian. We're Bahamians, we bought the property, we want to do this development that includes restaurants that we own, franchises that we own.
I understand now. No, I thought somebody else would buy it and was building, was putting like, you know, shops and little restaurants there. But if Wendy's bought it, on more power to them, I guess.
Yeah. No. This is.
Okay, I'll continue to listen, buddy.
Yeah, man. Okay, take care, my friend. This text says, good day, Lang, Atlantis problem. They don't want RCI there. They want Toby Smith there. Toby Smith? That's not nothing to do with Toby, eh? Not that poverty. This text says, awesome show, Mr. Lang. I'm trying to determine the difference between a Wendy's and a Dunkin' Donuts. The owner of Dunkin' Donuts is also the owner of Anthony is just putting that out there. There might be more to this than the meets. Yeah. In fact, in the article, it was pointed out that a Dunkin' Donuts came and no one had a problem with it. No one had a problem with it. Like, why? Dunkin' Donuts is a restaurant. Right? Okay, so maybe they're not frying in grease or grilling on the stove. But it's a restaurant, right? So it's a great show as usual. People over BI see Wendy's as ghetto. And Wendy's is ghetto? And I've been in some of the richest neighborhoods in America, and they are Wendy's. Boca Raton is one of the wealthier parts of Florida. They got Wendy's, come in, ghetto. Texas, hi, Mr. Lang. My issue with these fast food restaurants being in PI are with RCS. Money is being spent over the bridge in Nassau. Also, we need to be mindful that if Atlantis and others establish businesses in the area lose businesses, so do people lose their jobs also. Okay, you think it's that serious then? You think Atlantis cannot survive if they put restaurants in that plaza? I think these franchises downgrade the quality and tranquility of PI. They will be out of place. I do not live in PI, but I don't think they should be there, especially Wendy's, whose customers always block private roads on Nassau. Well, in Freeport too, child, they just get lined up way outside. That's the door. I've seen it. That could be a problem there. Can they not organize life better there to do that? I don't know. It says the plaza has two restaurants now, both owned by the people that own KFC. They are Anthony's and Dunkin' Donuts. That's right. I said Anthony's, and Anthony's been there for a long while. All right? All right. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, we will continue our discussion. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabiro Nanyo. We'll be back.
To Cali, BK style with the California King Collection, only available at Burger King Nassau. Enjoy your choice of plant-based, crispy chicken, or fire-grilled beef topped with melted white cheddar cheese, bacon, freshly sliced red onion, ripe tomato, crisp lettuce, and BK's creamy guacamole, all served on a toasted brioche bun. The California King Collection packs a tidal wave of flavors and is made with only quality ingredients that are refreshing and filling with every bite. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
The sixth edition of the Bahamas Games are on the way. July 7th through the 15th, get ready for inter-island sporting competition in the spirit of unity and camaraderie. Which island is gonna win? It's the Bahamas Games. Our nation, our talent, our games. And look out for the B Games crew coming to your island soon. For more information, call 809-1242. Or visit thebahamasgames.org.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. 439-3043. You know, the Prime Minister turned soil in Grand Bahama recently on a $10 million healthcare facility for Grand Bahama. That's a huge project, right? Prime Minister says it's proof that the Grand Bahama is not on the back burner. Says, thanks to the tireless work by the Ministry of Health and Wellness officials, Public Hospitals Authority, leadership, clinical and technical experts, and local health planners, we break ground on the Freeport campus and open a new chapter in the story of healthcare in the Bahamas. So the proposal is for sort of, this is a design build project, the first phase of which will be will will involve a 60,000 square foot facility that will be usable as phase 1B of the project is initiated, and then the final phase is going to be initiated simultaneously. So this is a designed build project. So I am reading the article, and the project is being funded by the World Bank. This $210 million project. I was looking for whether or not there was a named general contractor on the project. I didn't see it. But the Prime Minister says that smaller contractors will be involved in the construction of the project. Now, let me start by saying that there's no question that Grand Bahama needs a suitable airport. I mean, a suitable healthcare facility, hospital. No question. What Grand Bahamians have to do, and they go to the RAND, and the folks at the RAND are doing their darndest best under very trying circumstances, infrastructurally in many ways, to deal with what they have to deal with. If you have an emergency at the RAND Memorial Hospital, if this has changed in the last couple of months, okay, I can't swear by what the situation is today, but having had an emergency, having had three emergencies a year and a half or so, having gone to the RAND Memorial Hospital, this is your experience. It didn't matter if you came there with chest pains, which I did not. So I did not go with chest pain. You came there with a deep cut, which I did. or you came there with a dog bite, which my son did. you have to wait outside of the RAND Memorial Hospital emergency section. I don't mean you wait in like a foyer outside. No, you wait outside, you sit on the porch there until you are allowed in to be attended to by someone. So you sit out there, and then when you walk inside, what used to be a waiting area, now is a triage area of it, I believe. People are on beds there. That's the circumstance in which they find themselves, right? It's not the best situation at all. And like I said before, the nurses, the doctors, the staff, doing a yeoman's job under the circumstances in which they find themselves. You know, they do what they have to do. So a new medical facility is definitely welcome, needed. $200 million, a huge investment in that. So frankly, I suspect, a hospital that can grow with the island. And that's great. And can give confidence to both Bahamians and international persons about their ability to be cared for in circumstances where they find themselves needing medical attention. So that's wonderful. And so the Prime Minister and those are moving forward with that, turning the soil. Again, honestly, I'm a little taken aback because, you know, there isn't more comprehensive information on the project itself, you know. Point. Well, he says it's design build, so that what that means is, you know, you design and you build. So there are no plans in advance like that per se. And we'll have to see. We'll have to see. But again, for Grand Bahama, you know, happy for us in Grand Bahama. Happy that this progress seems to be there. I truly hope that all goes to plan, even though I am myself concerned that there's not more information being provided. I have to say that the government has announced some massive projects. The airport in Grandmama, $200 million. The hospital, $200 plus million. Projects in Cat Island Airport projects and so forth. But the information disclosure on it is, I think should be more fulsome. These are massive projects. These are welcomed projects. But the government announces them so casually in ways, right? I mean, you turn in soil on something, a massive project like that. Hey, how about a press conference laying out the details? I'm saying, be helpful, be useful. And so, you know, we'll see. You see how it pans out. But Grand Bahama, good for you. Good for you. Really, really hope this works out well, because you need it. Definitely need a proper medical facility, sure. So when we come back from the news break, I'm gonna pick up on a couple of things. One of which is Mr. Philip Galanis, who is the chairman of the Bahamas Trade Commission, was expressing some concerns about the fact that our imports, the things we are buying from the rest of the world, has far outpaced in terms of growth our exports, the things we sell to the rest of the world. And he's expressed concerns about that, because over the last 3-4 years, he's been looking at the numbers and he's saying that we have had maybe $50 million in growth in exports, but over the same period, we've had more than $500 million in growth in imports. And so he expresses concerns about that. And it is possible that you hearing that could share, but there is something about our trade that we should all know. So we'll talk about it after we come from the break. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hey, Mr. Lang.
Hi, how you doing?
Everything cool. Thank God for life. 4 p.m. Mr. Lang, I don't know if you could write these questions down and after the news break, maybe if you don't get a chance to answer it before the break, you could take some time to answer it if it's possible, please. I wanted to know. At least first of all, I think it's good for my people in Freeport and Grand Bahama for the new hospital to be there. But I don't want to find out from you, is this grounds the same grounds where the former Prime Minister Perry Christie would have done before? And I hear Minister of Health saying this is the real deal. So I'm thankful for what happened for the people in Freeport, but when I just listening to what he said, the Minister of Health saying this is the real deal now. So I was wondering what he meaning by that, and I don't know if it's the same grants, but better late than never, even if it's the same thing and they're doing it over again. I happy anything for the people in Freeport to put them on the front burner. I thank him for it. Minister, what about the $1 billion with the government to get when they're being away?
Okay. $1 billion from Exim Bank in London. Okay, yeah.
I wanted to know already how the government's supposed to spend that. And this thing would have been in the news last week with us going more into debt. Is there any way we could put to not just press a button, but somewhere we supposed to could find out how much my new day government done spend or expenses done spend since they've been in power? I mean, including old bills and in the country. Any way you can find out? I really want to know what they could do with $1 billion if it's just for the airport and Freeport office to do many other things. I salute the government for getting it. I ain't sure if it's a loan or a gift or what, but I'll hang up and listen. Thank you, Minister.
You're welcome. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Great questions, Papa asks. I'll get to them when we come back. We'll be back after the news break. Listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host.
is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
You marched the car?
I ain't marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Mocha frapp with almond milk. No whip?
That's me. Thanks. I know what I want for my coffee and for my wealth management plan. That's why I rely on the personalized care I get from my dedicated RF private wealth advisor. With RF, I get a customized strategy designed for what's important to me, like protecting my assets, evolving with changing markets, and making sure my money keeps on growing. For tailor-made wealth management, I trust RF Private Wealth.
Learn more at .com.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So Papa asked about the groundbreaking, where this is for the new hospital, okay? So you may recall that under the Christie administration, the government had broken ground for a new hospital in Grand Bahama, and was Minister of Health then, and now Prime Minister Brave Davis was then the Minister, Deputy Prime Minister, and the Minister of Public Works. So this ground was broken. There's a new medical school in Grand Bahama. There's a new medical school in Grand Bahama. And prior to that medical school coming to Grand Bahama, Western Atlantic University School of Medicine, right? Prior to that, that school coming, the Christie administration had been granted by the Grand Bahama Port Authority properties to actually build out this hospital, right? It's there off of East Sunrise Highway, right? For those of you in Grand Bahama, near Spinney Road and behind Lee Fountain and all of those, behind the Baptist Church there, oh goodness, I forget the name of the Baptist Church there, in the back there. So the Christie administration had been given property, and that's where they turned the soil for that and had a sign up to reflect the coming new hospital. Well, nothing happened then. And so what happened was the new Western Atlantic University School of Medicine was given the property that was for that soil that the soil was turned on for the Grand Bahama Medical Facility. So what has happened now is the port now has given the government a property alongside or near the medical school. So that's where the proposal is to build the new medical facility now. My understanding is Well, let me put it like this. I'd like somebody to help me figure out if you are the government, in the government, if you are in the public hospital authority or so, of this medical health facility, will there be any new beds for Grand Bahama, hospital beds? Will there be any new hospital beds? Now, you know, thanks to Dr. Dwayne Sands, he helped us understand and appreciate that when we talk about hospital beds, we're not just talking about a physical bed to lay in. We're talking about the bed and all the attendant personnel and equipment needed to service a client, a patient in the care of the hospital. So, because my understanding is the first phase may be only a kind of clinic facility. And is that so? Rather than actually having any beds, and that the beds may come in the second phase? And is that likely to happen in this term, in this period of the next 3 years or so? So we don't, so that's what, as for the grounds, but that's what I know. This text says ABC was announced as the general contractor, ABC, and says, where was the RFP, which is the request for proposal, and why wasn't there a transparent process for this new hospital built? Well, I can't say there wasn't a transparent process. I don't know. I don't know about the RFP, whether it was put out or not. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know and have any details about how this all came about. Design build, when you do design build project, you typically do that when you're trying to rush to get something done. Remember the bridge, the Sydney Poitiers by design build. And the aim was to try to get that built while Atlantis was bringing on, I think, maybe the second or third phase or something of that nature. So sometimes when you're doing design build, you end up using, you know, you may go to a more expedited procurement process than usual. But I don't know who ABC is. I've heard that name before, but I'm not entirely sure who is ABC. His text says, hey, Mr. Lang, wanted to inform the country of House Bill 1192 that if passed will allow the roads in Florida to be paved with nuclear waste that will run off into our ocean. Okay. Have to look at that some other times. Says, my understanding is that they have a lot of... Oh, okay. All right. Papa also asked about this $1 million from the Exim Bank of the United Kingdom. Okay. Quick question, too. So the Prime Minister... The Prime Minister says that the Prime Minister indicated to be at the Bahamas had secured a $1 billion loan facility from the Exim Bank of the UK. Okay. So let me explain something to you how Exim Banks work, right? The government of the Bahamas is not getting no money from the Exim Bank. If the UK Exim Bank works the way Exim Banks work. Remember that Bahama was funded, financed by the Chinese Exim Bank to the tune of $2+ billion. You remember that? Yeah. You remember what was required in order for Bahama to secure that money? You had to use substantial Chinese labor, substantial Chinese material, and so on. So that's how Exim Banks work. They are not giving the government the money. They are giving the money to private sources to secure material and other and services from their people. So the $1 billion facility works like this. Bahamas might identify a project it wants to have done, but to get the $1 billion from the UK to get some of that money, you're going to use UK material for the most part. You're going to use UK services for the most part, et cetera. And so that's what's happening. The UK contractors might be used. UK professionals might be used, et cetera, because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to increase their exports by funding their own businesses' ability to supply foreign countries with their funding. And in return, they get double whammy. They get double benefits. They get the Ex-Im Bank gets to lend this money out to these private concerns for this for-profit business so that the private concerns will pay them back that money with interest, maybe not as much interest as on the market, but with interest, so they don't lose money in the, if the business doesn't fail. And they are literally tending to lend the monies for projects that have to do with government. So you almost have a really low risk proposition because the government has to fail in order for them not to fail. Secondly, they're going to get UK materials used and UK labor services and other professional services used in the process. So it really maximizes the resources of the country, the export-import bank country, to do this. But this is not a situation where the government of the Bahamas is going to have pumped into the consolidated fund $200 million, $300 million, $1 billion. That's not the way it works. So when the prime minister, if he said it this way, says the Bahamas has secured this loan facility from the Ex-Im Bank, what he's talking about is Bahamian targeted projects will be able to be funded by this facility and primarily through private sources, just like Bahama under the thing. And to be sure, these come with some serious terms in terms of supply, sourcing, and all that kind of stuff. They may also come with stipulations about environmental regulations and these kinds of things too. So you got to look at the whole document, including the fine prints. But to be sure, the Congress will not and should not take on an additional $1 billion debt through this, because the loan isn't given to the government. And the loan isn't guaranteed by the government, as far as I know, but I haven't seen the terms. I think the government has to have a say in whether they agree with the project or that kind of stuff. That's as far as I know. That's how Ex-Im Banks export-import banks work. They're trying to encourage their own country in exports through the funding of projects by their businesses. Okay? Popo also wanted to find out, you know, about this more debt we went into. I think the government debt now is up to $12.5 billion. No surprise there. And I'll tell you why there's no surprise there. And then Popo wanted to know how you could find out what the government spent. Okay. So this is May. Today is May 17th. Popo, on the last Wednesday of this month, which will be May 24th, the government should be presenting the 2023-2024 budget. When it does so, it shall release some budget numbers about what it spent. Even though they will be provisional, they won't be final, but it's spent in the current fiscal year, that's 2022-2023, and then it should release information about what it expects to spend in the next 12 months, July 1 to June 30th of the following year. So when it does that, all the information you want, not in terms of who got what contract and all that, but the dollar amounts they spent on salaries, on rents, on telecommunications, on postage, on things like that, you'll be able to see right in those documents. So we'll be able to go through some of that for you, right? What it borrowed, you can see the stock inventory that is provided also. So you'll be able to see all of that once you get the information from the budget communication. So we'll look forward to that, and then we'll see what information we can get for you then. So I was saying to you that Mr. Galanis was expressing concerns about the Bahamas' increase in, someone is saying ABC is John Gallagher and Hannes Babak, Albacore, who built the bridge at the Fishing Oil Road. Really? Wow. I'll confirm that. I trust this source. But I had to confirm that. That's interesting. That is really interesting. All right. ABC is owned by Hannes Babak and run by Wolfgang Construction Company. This person. Okay. All right. There's another person confirming ABC is owned by Hannes Babak. Okay. Interesting. All right. So the way Mr. Galanis expressed a concern, on the face of it, just the pure numbers, you could say, okay, that's a concern. But here's the problem. Here is what you have to be aware of in the Bahamas. When your economy is expanding and there is more money in the pockets of Bahamians and Bahamian businesses, as would have been the case in 2021, 2022, compared to 2020. Think about that now. You turn your economy down in 2020 because of COVID. You then start to turn it back up in 2021. And it grows by extraordinarily by 14%+. When the Bahamas' economy grows and prospers like that, something happens to your trade account, especially the current account, the goods and service, the goods part of it. And you know what that something is? It worsens. Your sit on the current account side worsens. It must worsen. So prosperity, so a worsening trade account is very often a sign that your economy is doing better, not worse. Why? There's a simple way to think about this. Right now, let me put $100,000 in your pocket. Right now, $100,000 in your pocket. If you spend $100,000 on products, goods and services, what percentage of them do you think are made in the Bahamas? If you bought a TV, if you bought furniture, if you bought a refrigerator, if you bought food stuff, cereal, meats, canned goods, what percentage of those things would come from the Bahamas? A small percentage. Which means then that as you spend on that, you have to import those things. But remember, you import more now. Why? Because you've got more money in your pocket. If you have less money, you'll import less. You're not increasing the amount of things you make, right? You're not, because the bulk of your product exports, the bulk of it, is really like really re-export of some items, like oil in them, but also like crawfish and those kinds of stuff. We don't export a lot of products. Our biggest export, I try desperately to explain this to Bahamians, but it's hard. Our biggest export is services that we sell to foreigners, like hotel services, right? We sell those to foreigners, like financial services. We sell those to foreigners. Why? If you send a ton of lobster abroad, you get to the US, let's say, you get $1 million, let's say, in US dollars. Well, if you sell 10,000 tourist restaurant services in the Bahamas, they will pay you in U.S. dollars, and you may get $1.1 million. And that's how we finance our trade deficit on the current export services. That U.S. dollar is how we take the same U.S. dollar and turn around and be able to buy our televisions, furnitures, refrigerators, and food stuff. So we have to do a thorough analysis of our trade dynamics to know whether changes in our import growth or decline, or changes in our export growth or decline, have to do with a sign of a troubled economy or a sign of an improving economy. Because in the Bahamas, our trade dynamics, especially on the current account side, account deficit widens, chances are the economy is doing better. When it narrows, chances are we're not doing as well. So I haven't had a chance to look at the details of the national accounts to be able to assess what's been happening on the trade side per se, but I will do so. But I just wanted to caution that to express alarm over our import growth without taking account of the fact that import growth might be a sign of improved financial for the country, could lead to a conclusion that may not be warranted. Okay? This text, another text saying, all right, I don't know who owns ABC. Okay, so I don't know. I'm hearing people call Mr. Babak's name and others. Gallagher does. I don't know. But I will find out. If I can, I'll find out. All right, I'll find out. I don't know. I don't know. This text says 1%. So yeah, 1% it may be higher than that, but it's not substantially high. This text says, none of us have the details. We must just accept that this is the real deal and rejoice. No questions asked. Well, it's interesting that Dr. Darvill said it's the real deal. If real deal in relation to what? Was some other deal a fake deal? I don't know, you know? This text is from Selang. You are 100% correct about the level of information being given on these projects. Isn't it amazing how successive governments can pass new legislation to tax its citizens or police its citizens overnight, but legislation that governs the government, such as Freedom of Information Act, term limits for prime ministers, fixed election date, MP recall legislation, campaign finance reform, enforcement of no-bid tender contract laws, cannot seem to see the light of day. Simply amazing. Well, actually, as for the tenders thing, I thought that the legislation had been passed. I thought we were operating on new arrangements in that regard. I thought so. Ms. Texas, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Ms. Oswell is carrying on in this manner. One, because of the most favored clause in Atlantis heads of agreement. Two, whenever they ask the government for something, if they don't get it, they then have mass redundancies. However, Atlantis chief was wrong when she openly criticized the Royal Caribbean deal, says Pindling and Ingram. Either one of them would have summoned Ms. Oswell to their office and have her to retract a statement or ask Brookfield, the parent company, to Atlantis to have her removed immediately. No head of any foreign entity should ever try to dictate, sway, or influence any decisions being made by sovereign country's government. PM Davis should have Cavour escorted out of the country forthwith. Honestly, I don't agree with that posture. Actually, the most favored nation clause in Atlantis' agreement would have nothing to do with the protests that they are having against RCI or against Wendy's, because what most favored nation says is that anything you do for someone who is in my business in the same way I am, you have to do for me. So you have to treat me. You can't treat someone in my business like me more favorably than you treat me. That's what it means, okay? And so Wendy's and them putting a restaurant over there like that would be violating nothing to fit that that Atlantis isn't getting. And RCI wouldn't have any challenge in that way because they're not getting any benefit that Atlantis isn't getting. And so that's why you would not have heard Atlantis's managing director claim MFN, because that's a legal thing. They could have gone straight to government if it was MFN. Okay, we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm okay, man. And yourself?
I'm great. I'll be brief as possible. I'm a fellow millennial who attends the University of the Bahamas with a journalism degree. And I want to just put my chime in. A lot of these children and youths and honors and high school students who are coming out of school are not probably qualified. Why I say that? Because when I graduated, I studied commerce and actually financial. But even though we have exams for the prerequisites to be able to branch off, you can go to UB with it. But that would take some time after you finish with that to get a job. But what I'm thinking about, just how we have the national trading for the students who come out of high school, right? I think that all corporations should set apart some resource that they could be the role model or the key or the mentor so that they can understand, because it's still hard. And I thought after the pandemic, we was going to have something similar like the Industrial Revolution or something to build up the country. Now, one of the perfect things that can be done is bouncy with the agriculture. But not many people, hospitality, accounting, all these different things. But if we recognize that all of these things are in tandem, it can help, because not everyone will go to the beach. But we have to make food. And look at it, for example, the inflation and all these prices going up. I don't know if you notice. You do notice. But at one of the high schools, I'm trying not to call the name, but they made eggs. They was harvesting eggs, and they was having all these things. So if there's ever a time that we have, like, the Cold War again or recession, we cannot keep on depending on foreign countries, because if they don't have it, look at Russia with the oil. We was having a big thing with pharmaceuticals and with oil and diesel. So right, we have to find a way that banking, because if ever that strikes or something happens to that, wherever we go, we be begging for food, for social services all around. But we must make ourselves abundantly equipped for such times. Thank you,
sir. I got you. Thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z-Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We got to take a break from you. We have to take a break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Edition of the Bahamas Games are on the way. July 7th through the 15th. Get ready for inter-island sporting competition in the spirit of unity and camaraderie. Which island is gonna win?
It's the Bahamas Games. Our nation, our talent, our games. And look out for the B-Games crew coming to your island soon. For more information, call 809-1242 or visit thebahamasgames.org.
We are going back to Cali, BK style, with the California King Collection, only available at Burger King Nassau. Enjoy your choice of plant-based, crispy chicken, or fire-grilled beef, topped with melted white cheddar cheese, bacon, freshly sliced red onion, ripe tomato, crisp lettuce, and BK's creamy guacamole, all served on a toasted brioche bun. The California King Collection is made with only quality ingredients that are refreshing and filling with every bite. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shavai Bolang, your host. So glad if you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 3. And you can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So PM was commenting on the Privy Council's ruling about the Bahamian man who has a child born in the Bahamas with a non-Bahamian woman. And the Prime Minister said, and I quote, according to a Nassau Guardian article written by Jared Higgs, Prime Minister said, first of all, I think we need to ensure that the daddy is the daddy, and the daddy does. And the only way to know that is if you have some kind of test. And there are some presumptions as well that we need to discuss. Presumptions that if there's a birth certificate that has the father's name on it, there's the presumption that he is the father. But there's a lot of issues that have to be worked out. What happens now is if you were born in the Bahamas and you were able to demonstrate that the father is a Bahamian, then you don't need to apply to become a citizen. You are a citizen. You only need to apply for your passport with evidence of it. If you think you need it, but apart from that, if you can demonstrate that your father, says the Prime Minister, when asked about this former Attorney General, distinguished attorney, Sean McQueenie said that, in quote, that is a difficulty that will have to be met. I think, says Sean McQueenie, I think one of the things that the government is going to have to decide very early on whether legislation is required for this. I really don't know. I haven't looked into that. Maybe existing law is sufficient, but it has to be decided what evidence is going to be treated as sufficient for the purposes of proving paternity. He says, broadly speaking, in the Bahamian experience, affidavits from persons with all knowledge of the facts would usually be treated as sufficient. In this case, I guess the only other person with knowledge of the facts would be the mother. It may be in any case, because of the times in which we live, science has improved dramatically and things are not as costly today as they were 10 years ago. It may be that DNA evidence can be accessed much more inexpensively and much more readily than was previously the case, because DNA evidence, of course, is definitive. But affidavits are subject to perjury and all sorts of other abuses. You don't have that where you have scientific certainty through DNA testing. So once again, the issue of paternity testing comes up. This is interesting to me because in the ordinary circumstances, beyond the ones I was just mentioned, so let's say you're a Bahamian woman and you're a Bahamian man and you have a child, right? And you have the child in the Bahamas. So the child is, we say the child is Bahamian. So you go apply it, like, under what circumstances would that child need to prove its citizenship? If it applies for a passport, if it runs for parliament, if it seeks a certain scholarships, maybe some jobs, I don't know, maybe like the police force or something, I don't know, right? Maybe, I don't know. But generally speaking, I haven't had to prove outside of those contexts that I just mentioned that I'm a Bahamian citizen. I never had to outside of running for the House of Assembly. And I'm trying to figure out whether I had to present my birth certificate or not. I don't remember. Whether I had to prove that I'm a Bahamian citizen. Now, if I had to prove that I was a Bahamian citizen, as I had to do when I got my passport, when I ran for the House of Assembly, what did they require of me? What did they require? Birth certificate, right? Now, if I didn't have my birth certificate, what would they require? They might say you need to get an affidavit from blah, 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 and then you have to test the affidavit and blah, 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 right? Fine. So here's the thing for me. The court has ruled that if you're born in the Bahamas to a Bahamian father, you are automatically a Bahamian citizen. So the fact of your citizenship is not in question here. If your father was Bahamian and you were born in the Bahamas, then you are Bahamian. The question is, when it comes time for you to get something that requires you to establish your citizenship, because you don't have to register. You don't have to register. None of us goes and, oh, I'm registering as a Bahamian citizen. But if the time comes where you have to prove for a scholarship, for a job, for a passport, your citizenship, there's two things I have to say here. First of all, why this issue of mandatory testing is even an issue in the context of this ruling, it's still a mystery for me. I have to tell you, it's still a mystery for me. But the fact of the matter is, if my interest is at stake, I'm the child, and from all I know, my father was a citizen, is a citizen. And whether my father knows he is my father or not is irrelevant to me. Irrelevant to my citizenship. Because if he is uncooperative, if he was not told, if he refuses to acknowledge me, I would go and get a lawyer and say, well, who can afford that? Man, let me tell you something. There are people out there who will help you. They'll help you. I get a lawyer. I take you to court and try to get a court to get you to do a paternity test. Why? Because this has to do with my status in the country as a citizen. It is that valuable to me. I will force you to do it there. Forget the government requiring it of me. Because in every circumstance where the DNA testing or other things are required, it's my interest that is at stake, not the government's, because if the government wanted to take them out of the pretty cough. If they wanted to make it easier for me to do this, they would not have done that. Hey, me, Chivago Line, I want my citizenship, and I therefore, I'll find the money. Just how people find money for Air Jordans, find money for concert, find money for this, then, and that. I scrape up the money, and I will get that DNA test so that I can get my citizenship. And whether my daddy know or don't know, that's on them. The court orders him to do a DNA test. He'll have to defy the court. That's the question I would make. Can I go to the court? Can I go to court and require a man who my mother says is my father to do a DNA test to affect my citizenship of the country? That's the only relevant question I would want to have. See, to rely on the government for this, I think is, for a person, problematic. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabag Relang, your host. We're going to take our final break. We'll be back after this break.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together. And we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/.
Sixth edition of the Bahamas Games are on the way. July 7th through the 15th. Get ready for inter-island sporting competition in the spirit of unity and camaraderie. Which island is gonna win? It's the Bahamas Games. Our nation, our talent, our games. And look out for the B-Games crew coming to your island soon. For more information, call 809-1242. Or visit thebahamasgames.org.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
After a hurricane or storm, get the Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide. The guide will tell you where to purchase building and cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and much more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches and after it departs. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300, or call your account. Will you be prepared?
Babe, you mashed the car?
I mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Live, I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio for these remaining moments of the show. We have a text here that says, are we not required to have a passport to open a simple bank account or to travel to Miami? Yes, you do, but you don't have to open a bank account and you don't have to travel to Miami. But yes, you do. Yes, you do. So that's what I say. I'm saying if you want to do things that require determining your citizenship, then you'll do what is necessary for you. Because if you say, I'm not obeying them, I'm not following them, that's not going to help you. And the government isn't going to be angry that you don't get to have the proof you want of your citizenship to be able to travel or open up a bank account. That only affects you. It's Texas IZ. I was born in 1969. My mom has 7 children. Both my parents are Bahamians. 3 of my siblings were born after independence. In order for my siblings, all unmarried and born in the Bahamas, and their children all to Bahamian fathers and mothers, to get any travel documents, passports, my mother, 80-year-old mother, has to still produce a birth certificate and a passport. Yeah. I think to establish your citizenship, if they want to genuinely establish it, you have to have your parents, because your father and mother being named on your birth certificate doesn't say that they are Bahamians. It is only when their birth certificates are produced and the circumstances of their birth are produced that you can use that as verification of your citizenship, right? So you're absolutely right. It is still that. First of all, we can get rid of this. We can get rid of all of this. And before somebody says, oh, why you didn't do it while you were there? I was pushing the idea by having a national registration. And it's easy for us to start because we can start with the voter registration. If you can vote, you are a citizen. Now, you could say, oh, but some fraudulent people could have voted. Yes, but is that the rule or the exception? So if you wanted to do some work to purify it, the fact of the matter is there are people who have been voting in this country from 1960s or more, or after independence, on established registered mamas. We have let them vote. They are only able to vote if they're citizens. Can the registry, the voter foundations of a national register that we can utilize in banks and every other place to say, stop requiring people to bring all this documentation, because here is the official register of Bahamians in the Bahamas. And then if you want to be registered on that register, you'll do the necessary to be registered to kill all of this nonsense of having to over and repeatedly produce these documents. Does anybody see what I'm saying? I mean, come on, people. We vote our governments in on a document called the Register of Voters. The Register of Voters, it consists of who? People we deem to be Bahamians. You think 10%, 20%, 30% of them are fraudulent? Then why are we having elections? It is insane. We can have it, and we can use it to issue you a national identification as a citizen beyond a passport. So, Mr. Langmark, your topic, however, very embarrassing. West on Big Pond Road between NIB building and Pastor Carlos Reed Church. There is a track road there. I just saw a young lady walking through there alone. Not good considering what's going on in our country now. You're right. You should have. If you could have shouted her and tell her, go do something else. But I agree with you. What's going on now does not make that a very good thing to be doing right now. Not at all. This text says, you know, Z is the caution because of marriage of convenience, which we know took place in the Bahamas. Maybe they can recognize those prior to a certain date. These Bahamian men usually be ducking signing anyhow. Yeah, but marriage of convenience doesn't stop. Hey, if you get married out of convenience, you still were married. But and this wouldn't affect the child anyways, because if you get married out of convenience, this is about children whose parents weren't married, you know? But the child shouldn't be affected by a decision by you to be marry out of convenience, but the child is born here. marriage, if it's recognized before the state, is a marriage, unless the state says this marriage was never was null and void, and so forth, then that's a different story. But even then, it doesn't matter. If one of the parents is Bahamian and the marriage is annulled, then and the child is born in the Bahamas, according to the law, the child will be Bahamian. This text says, makes complete sense. We in the Bahamas just love to complicate things, suck my teeth. I mean, really, really. I mean, I'm saying, see, you can't argue to me that we can't use the voter registration register as proof of citizenship if you use that same register to elect your doggone government that passes your laws. What? What? Think about that. We use the register to elect the people who make the laws. So if the register is invalid, the elected people are invalid, and the laws they pass are invalid. Can you imagine how much nuisance we could erase right now today by establishing, ladies and gentlemen, let me point out to you, Chicago Line is a Bahamian and exists on the registry of Bahamian citizens. On the basis of that register, we are issuing him a national ID as a citizen. I don't need to travel to the U.S. I'm not going to the U.S. I'm not going to Europe. I just want this ID so when I go to a bank, they could look at it and go, oh, he's a citizen. I don't need to bring a ton of this and a ton of that. I'm applying for a scholarship. There you go. I'm going to the University of the Bahamas. There you go. I'm not an international person. I'm a baby. There you go. Right now, today, we could do that. Right now, today, we could do that. Save all kind of headache, all kind of nuisance. This text is lying. Sometimes you do need that DNA even after you sign for the child. The woman who is foreign to tell you that he is not the father. Of course, my point is, maybe I'm not clear. Listen, bro, as long as it's your interest, if you're the one who need to know, then do it. If you're the government and you need to know, then you pay for it. You say, the child comes and says, my daddy's a Bahamian, yes, this, and you say, well, I don't believe you. I think you should pay for it. Why should you pay for it? Because I am not guilty until proven innocent. I am coming to you and telling you what my mother told me, or here's my documentation, so forth. You do not believe me. You don't. Well, you don't want, you want to prove that I am not who I say I am, or I'm who I say I am. You pay for the test. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us today. You all have a great afternoon. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God bless.